From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 5th day of October, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the agricultural futures markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, the state statisticians will update crop progress in their area. And we'll hear more about the Chinese corn crop. This morning, the United States Grains Council released an update of their figures, and it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids, to farmers throughout East Central Illinois. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Here the way the numbers settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures from the wheat pit were higher, up 16 and a quarter in the nearby December. At $6.63.5, the May at $7.14.25, up 17 and a half for the old crop. New crop July wheat for the soft red at $7.13.5, up 17 cents. December hard red lead option at $7.01, up 18 cents. December corn today, $4.91, up 19 and a half. March at $5 a penny and three quarters, 18 and three quarters higher. May corn at $5.08, up 18 and three quarters. July at $5.11 and three quarters, 18 and a half higher. And December for new crop at $4.76 and a quarter, up a dime for next year. November beans, $10.71 and three quarters, 17 and three quarters cents higher. January at $10.81 and a half, up 17 and a half. And the March soybeans at $10.89 and a quarter, 16 and three quarters higher. July at $10.99 and three quarters, up 17 and a quarter. And November at $10.64 and a quarter for 2011, up 17 cents at $10.64 and one quarter. October bean meal at $2.94.90, up $6.90. October oil at $43.47. 37 cents higher. Livestock, October live cattle futures, 95.55, 45 higher. October feeder cattle down 95 cents today. A settlement price there at $109.55 per 100 pounds. The November's at $109.50, down $1.17.5. And the October lean hogs from Chicago at $75.35, down 32.5 cents per 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures, $82.79 a barrel, up $1.32. Ethanol at $1.97 1/10, 4 8/10 higher on the day. Natural gas at $3.75 1/8, up 3 1/10 cents. Heating oil at $2.30 1/10, a penny and 6/10 higher. That's diesel fuel. And the gold futures at $1,338.90, a gain today at $23.50. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 10,938, just about 187 points higher. The dollar is 0.67 lower at 77.77. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 288.42. is up 4.43 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it's delivered by the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Sunny skies around Urbana-Champaign. A high today near 68 degrees. Northwest winds at about 6 miles an hour. Tonight, clear. A low of 41. Northwest winds around 6 miles an hour again. On Wednesday, sunny skies. A high near 76. West-northwest winds between 5 and 9 tomorrow night. Mostly clear, a low of 48 degrees, north-northwest winds at 8 miles an hour. On Thursday, should be sunny, a high of 73 degrees, north-northwest winds at 6 to 8. And Thursday night, clear, cool, a low of 45 degrees. Friday, it'll be sunny, a high near 76. Friday night, a clear of low in 46. And Saturday, sunny, the high near 80 degrees. When we get to the extended forecast, Saturday night should be clear, a low of 51. Sunday, it should be sunny, a high of 80 degrees, and Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 49. By the time we get to Columbus Day next Monday, partly sunny skies, a high near 75 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we talk with Don Day later in this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, joins us on a beautiful day. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
It's a lot nicer today for many farmers than it was on Friday of last week when we dropped 30 cents. I suspect they're feeling much better. Did you expect the market to turn around and to turn around so quickly?
We were expecting to turn around at some point there. It was getting a little worrisome of when it was going to turn around, especially after the weekly reversal down last week and the way we started out Sunday night and Monday morning. But when the funds quit selling, that lack of selling above the market has really helped this market move on up without any resistance going to the upside. One of the big things that happened today was the U.S. Grain Council on the 2010 Chinese corn crop, they're rating it 158 million metric tons. That's down 8 million metric tons from the September forecast. And that, along with the continued just poor yields that we continue to hear across the corn harvesting areas, and the way that we're seeing the basis really improve as a harvest winds down in many areas. We've drawn in about 15 cents over here in central Indiana just since last Friday, so on the corn. So there's a lot of demand by the end users.
Yeah, on the U.S. Grains Council, I listened to that press conference this morning, about an hour in length. Maybe we'll try to put that into our weekend newsletter, the whole of the thing. We'll hear a bit of it a bit later this afternoon. One of the farmers that was along for the 3 or 4 days that they were looking at the crop, I've got about 4 or 5 minutes. Pretty interesting to hear what he has to say. And just talking about crop production itself in China. But, of course, the 166 coming from the USDA, there's some other numbers out there. But 158 is what the U.S. Grains Council found, and they're pretty thoughtful that that's correct. And not only that, but there might be some exports of U.S. corn to China in the coming season. So we'll talk about that more in the future, too. Turn your attention to the soybean market. A gain of 17 and three quarters. We're still hearing about awfully good soybeans, though there are areas in Illinois and Indiana that are pretty tough, I've been told.
You know, we're hearing that the Mid-South beans, the later beans down there, are not doing well at all. I talked to a couple of clients down in Arkansas that they were getting concerned now whether their total farm would average 30 bushels on some of those. We are hearing some differentiating yield as they get into the full season. Beans were planted later and definitely sustaining the worst of the drought activity during that time period, Todd. So, you know, all in all, the bean yields, I think, are going to be strong. We do actually even look for the USDA to raise their estimate on a bushel yield that way on Friday. Doesn't have to be a lot, but we do think there will be an increase there.
Yeah, so 44.7, the average trade guess now at 44.8, 44.86, actually, according to one poll for the average national yield for soybeans. You think it can be that big?
I really do. I think that there's been a lot of awfully good beans. You know, we hear some areas that aren't that good, but I think that some of the areas that otherwise have definitely made up for it. We had some, you know, all-time record yields for a lot of farmers on their farms with the beans this year, even if their corn was far from it. So, you know, I do think they made some strides with the beans.
The average trade guess at 160.08 for the national corn yield average. Is that low enough, and will USDA come down from its 162.5 to that low in just 1 month?
Oh, we feel that the government will come down somewhere close to that in the 160 range. We really believe that that's high at this point in time. Of course, you know, we still have Minnesota, majority of Minnesota and Nebraska and good parts of Iowa to bring to the elevator and to see what it really produces. But, you know, Todd, as we took a trip up through in Illinois, went from Mahomet, Route 74 up to Route 80 in Morris there, very little corn left in the field, and only two elevators had big piles of corn sitting outside, and the corn is harvested. So, you know, we know that the corn is short in a lot of areas. They just aren't having near the corn in their elevators as they expected to.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. on a Tuesday afternoon. Back in just a moment.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Well, the U.S. Grains Council just concluded its annual China tour. It held a press conference this morning. It now estimates an increase in production for corn there over their 2009 crop. The council estimates the total production for China's 2010 corn crop at 158 million metric tons. That's about 6.2 billion bushels. Given the projected corn harvested area of 30.8 million hectares, it implies a yield of 5.13 tons per hectare, or 81.5 bushels to the acre. Indiana farmer David Howell was on the China tour and this morning's press conference. I thought you'd get a kick out of hearing what he had to say about China and its corn crop production areas.
It was a wonderful week's experience to get to go see a different culture and system. It was my first time to China. There were five teams divided up. We went originally to Beijing, and from there we went to Harbin in the northeast. Went out from there in separate groups of five. We didn't meet each other until after the thing was over, so bias is built in. My group went out for 3 days. We went into fields located by GPS that the majority of them had been seen for years prior, and so they're starting to develop a base of consistency so that they get the same fields and over time. We went in and we took about 12 to 13 samples a day. Kevin Leitner and Sam New were my cohorts. Counted ear length. We took 5 meters. Took population stand count, barren stalk count. Then we counted three ears from the second, sixth, and tenth plant as we started. Counted girth, row numbers around, and ear length. And then we, as we got back in the van, I was the chief hand sheller. We shelled a sample to be tested later on for moisture and test weight and so forth. My observations were it was really difficult for me to see the back up. Many things that reminded us of, or reminded me of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, as far as the terrain's concerned. But so there's wide open spaces in places you can see corn to the horizon. And essentially all corn, it's strictly corn belt as opposed to our Midwest versus corn and soybeans mixed. But the average farmer has from he and his wife and family have from 1 to 2.5 acres for their livelihood. Their income annually is somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 a year. Corn is their life. I was amazed at the technique. I had so many problems drawing parallels to get judgment. They go in and hand cut it, lay it down. Their main tool is a sharp sickle. They lay it down, they shuck it by hand. You'd see a wife sitting in a row of corn laid over, shucking it, and then they'll either put it in bushel bags and transport those back to the farm. They'll put it in or in a pull-the-tin cart pulled by a giant lawn tractor by our standards to their farm. That's their family vehicle. But the problem is that they have a lot of lodging. They have a lot of insect damage, corn borer and rootworm damage. I thought the corn was terribly wet. But when I think about the quality of the crop they're going to put out, I couldn't draw any parallels because ours is machine harvested with combines, run through significant drying and mechanical equipment, where theirs is strictly handheld. They air dry it. They chuck it by hand, and so they're going to get more quality out of the crop than we would. But it was interesting to see still such physical labor, and then they use the corn stalks for family heating for the rest of the year. They stockpile them as an asset and burn those in a area that's comparable to Minneapolis as far as weather conditions. I could only shiver to think that two fireplaces in the both ends of their 20 by 30 typical houses with fireplaces at both ends would be a tough way to go.
That was a farmer from Indiana, David Howell. He's also an advisory team leader for the U.S. Grains Council Asia area and participated in the U.S. Grains Council's annual China corn tour. Again, the U.S. Grain Council now estimates that crop at 158 million metric tons, or about 6.2 billion bushels, with an average yield of 81.5 bushels to the acre.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's switch global corn growing areas now and move to the United States, where USDA yesterday released its weekly crop weather report in progress and shows that nationally 93% of this year's corn crop was at or beyond the mature stage by the week's end. That's 39 points ahead of last year, 14 points ahead of the five-year average. Maturity was nearly complete across much of the Corn Belt by the third day of October. Producers had harvested some 37% of the nation's crop. That's 28 percentage points, or about 36 days ahead of last year. By the week's end, leaves were also dropping on 88% of the soybean crop, 11 percentage points ahead of last year, 3 points ahead of the five-year average. Double-digit progress was evident throughout much of the major soybean-producing areas of the country. As leaf drop neared completion across much of the Corn Belt, Lower Delta and Ohio Valley, with mostly dry weather providing nearly ideal conditions for fall field work, harvest advanced 20 points during the week to 37% complete by the third day of October, 23 percentage points ahead of last year, 9 points ahead of the five-year average. Producers in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska, the five largest soybean-producing states, harvested 22% or more of their crop during the week. Now, here are the statisticians from those areas with updates on their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 3, 2010. After a week of wet weather, Iowa producers experienced nearly ideal weather conditions and made rapid harvest progress. 97% of the corn acres are at or beyond maturity, and 19% has been harvested. Corn harvest is just over 1 week ahead of average, but over 4 weeks ahead of last year's slow harvest pace. The moisture content of all corn in the field is estimated at 21%, while the moisture content of corn being harvested is estimated at 18%. Leaves have begun to drop on 90% of the soybean acres, 2 percentage points ahead of last year, but 1 percentage point behind the five-year average. Producers harvested 31% of their soybean acres during the week, propelling progress ahead of the normal pace following the prior week's limited progress. At 38% complete, harvest was 1 point ahead of the five-year average and 20 points ahead of last year. With more operators in the field, minor lodging is being found in both corn and soybean fields. Although condition ratings for corn at 67% and soybeans at 71% good to excellent are unchanged from last week. This was the driest week in 31 weeks, with statewide average rainfall at 1/100th inch. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 3rd. Last week was cool and dry for much of the state, allowing harvest to continue at an exceptional pace. With harvest progressing rapidly, many producers have made excellent progress on fall tillage, fertilizer applications, and wheat seeding. Statewide, corn harvest advanced by 17 percentage points to 74% complete. Last year on this date, we were only at 5%, and 31% is a five-year average. Overall, the corn crop was rated in 53% good or excellent condition, unchanged from last week. Soybeans in the shedding leaves category were reported at 91% compared to 59% a year ago and 83% for the five-year average. 50% of the crop was reported harvested compared to 5% last year and 28% for the five-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 65% good or excellent condition, up 3 percentage points from last week. In other crops around the state, 54% of the sorghum crop was reported harvested compared to 28% normally, and 20% of the soft red winter wheat crop was seeded compared to 14% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending October 3rd. The weekend rains were not enough to reduce the drought conditions in many central and southern areas of the state. Some counties in southern Indiana have received only about a quarter of their normal rainfall for September. Field and combine fires continued to be reported, and currently 62 counties have burn bans in effect. Corn farmers continued harvest activity ahead of the previous record of 57% complete set in 1991, while soybean harvest is close to the record set in 1987 when 65% of the harvest was completed at this time. 98% of the corn crop is mature, compared with 48% for last year and 75% for the five-year average. 64% of the corn crop has been harvested, compared with 5% for last year and 18% for the five-year average. Corn condition for the week was rated as 57% good to excellent. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 15.5%. 95% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared to 76% for last year and 86% for the five-year average. 63% of the soybean crop has been harvested, compared with 8% for last year and 22% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated at 54% good to excellent category, and the moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 10.5%. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. We'll be back here on the Closing Mark Report in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Visit us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us now by phone to look at the agricultural forecast. What does it say for the rest of the week in harvesting across the Midwest?
Well, for the most part, pretty good. We've got another log jam in the jet stream, and the areas of unsettled weather have been along the coast, the East Coast, the interior west around California, Nevada, Pacific Northwest, the midsection of the nation. Won't be impacted too much by too much precipitation. So for most of the Midwest, it's going to be good for harvest operations, same for the southern plains. There will be some shower activity this weekend across the Dakotas, up into Minnesota, possibly Iowa, Wisconsin. That'll come later in the weekend. But otherwise, Todd, pretty good-looking harvest weather.
Anything that we need to be concerned about here in the United States?
Not at the moment. You know, so far, it's been a very tame fall for the most part. We don't, at the moment, see a real big blast of cold. There is going to be a cold front moving across the nation's midsection, let's say around Tuesday night, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, that may bring some lower 30-degree temperatures to some of the northern plains, but for the time of year, that really won't be really out of the normal.
Let's go globe hopping then. Take me around the globe and the primary growing regions that you find of interest.
Well, if we were to go look and see what harvest conditions might be like in China, not bad, although there will be a few wet areas. There's been some wet weather over the past week and some more wet weather for the central and southern and eastern growing areas of China, so a few harvest delays possible there. Going southern hemisphere, looking at some pretty good chances for precipitation in Brazil, a little bit less active in Argentina.
That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, now joins us to take up the agricultural energies, as he does once a month on a Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being with us, Harry.
Oh, good. Welcome. Yes.
Well, let's talk about not energies, but kind of a global perspective, because we need to look at gold and oil and the dollar, and they're all doing interesting things. What do you see?
That's right. We have very interesting markets here in the past several weeks, where the gold market is shot up through $1,200 an ounce, and now we're trading over $1,300. We're almost at $1,350 today. We're up about $25 an ounce in gold. The silver market went above $20 an ounce for the first time in many years. It's up at almost $23 an ounce here this afternoon. It's almost up a dollar on the day. And at the same time, the dollar is crumbling. The dollar has fallen to several month lows in here. In fact, the dollar right now today is down to about its lowest level of 2010. It's at its lowest level since January. As the dollar falls, it tends to be bullish for commodities in general, not just oils and not just grains, but metals also. So on a day like today, when the dollar is down sharply, then that gives a bullish enthusiasm to the traders in oil and in grains and in the metals. So the gold up $25, your corn's up about 19 cents, and crude oil closed a dollar and a quarter higher today, up around almost $83 a barrel, which is about $10 over the level that it was just trading at about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Any reason that farmers and producers and agricultural interests should be booking any of their energy supplies, be that the fertilizers or the gasoline, diesel, such things as like that?
As far as the liquid energies, and that's what I have my expertise in, no, I would not be. Here's why. If you look at the history, 7 out of 10 years, if you would have bought fuel in early October, 7 out of 10 years in the past, out of the 10, the past 10, you could have bought that energy product at a lower price sometime in the next several months. And the best time tends to be in that Thanksgiving to Christmas time period. So if you look back at the past 10 years, 7 out of 10 of those years, if you would have bought it here now in the first week in October, you would have been able to buy it cheaper down the road. So I still have to go with off that seasonal, and that seasonal says that you'll hit a peak in here at some point, and then you'll sell back off. I do have concerns that we may not sell off quite as much as I had originally hoped for maybe a month or so ago, but I still think there's a sell-off to be had, and if I was a producer, I'd just be getting the harvest in. It's a great harvest. We're going to use a lot of fuel this fall, and then look forward to contracting for next year here later in this year.
Harry, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon closing market report. You can always listen to it again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.